Good morning. Sorry about that. A little technical difficulty this morning. But if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll be starting in verse 12 this morning. But before we do, let's take our hats off and open up in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just humbly again come before you. We just thank you for this time we had to worship you through music, Lord, and just prepare our hearts and mind to receive your word this morning, Lord. I pray that you would just speak through me this morning, Lord. Let me be your vessel and just let my words be your words this morning, Lord. And just thank you for each person that's here, Lord. And as we get into your word this morning, Lord, just open our eyes and our hearts to what you have us to learn this morning. We just thank you for your blessings in your precious name. Amen. I don't know for you guys, but I know for me, for the last year and the, man, this last couple of months have been a pretty tough time. And, how do we go through these difficult and challenging times in our life? How do we handle them? Do we face these problems with the hope that comes with a relationship with Jesus? Or do we get focused on the worldly side of it and we get frustrated and upset on what's happening? Do we blame God whenever we face these difficult times? Do we turn to Him? How have we handled all the difficulty and uncertainty we've faced over the last several months? Again, have we blamed God or turned to Him? The church in 1 Thessalonica was facing a lot of difficult circumstances, but they were holding on to their faith. So when Paul closes out this letter, he leaves several commands that are a great reminder to all Christians that our circumstances should never stop us from rejoicing always, always praying, giving thanks in everything. When we rejoice always, when we do some of these things, we need to focus on the heavenly side of it, not the earthly side of it. Look at what the eternal value of it. Because we're going to be sad going through difficult times. We lose loved ones and go through these times. But if we're looking at what God's done for us, that's where we get our hope. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Now I ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we exhort you, brothers. Warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise the prophets, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brothers, pray for us also. Greet all brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this letter to be read to all brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. When we look at these commands that he's given us, this is how we should go through our day. When we're going through these difficult things or just the things that come our way, how do we face them? The first thing we need to do is rejoice in all things. And again, we need to focus on what God has done for us and where our hope is in him, that firm foundation in that hope. We can understand the call to rejoice, but Paul's call to rejoice always causes us to stop and think. Can we rejoice when we're sick, we're homeless, in prison, or grieving the loss of someone that we love? Can we rejoice when we have just lost our job and don't know where to turn? Can we rejoice with all the different uncertainties we face every day? I think Paul, in his life, in his ministry, demonstrated that it's possible to to rejoice in the face of adversity. Early in his ministry, he was arrested. Him and Silas sang hymns and prayed in their prison cells. And, Paul faced many other hardships while serving the Lord. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening. So here they are sitting in a prison cell where they could have been mad, upset, angry, but they're still being a light and a salt. They're still rejoicing because their hope is in Jesus. And they know that no matter what they're going through, Jesus is with them. But the prisoners were listening, so they're still being a witness. So when we're going through our daily lives and we're facing these things, that's what we have to do. Rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus and face, just, you know, turn everything over to him. That way, we can still be a witness. When we start getting frustrated and angry, that's going to affect our witness. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28 says, are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I'm a better one with far more labors, many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, near death many times. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. 1 time I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, and dangers in the open country, dangers in this, on the sea, and dangers among false brothers, labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, and lacking clothing, not to mention the other things. There is a daily pressure on me and my care for all the churches. Acts 5:40-41 says, after they called the apostles and had them flogged, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and release them. Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be dishonored on behalf of the name. I mean, that's pretty big right there, that sit there and get flogged, and you go out singing and still continue to do what you're doing. They were rejoicing in what they knew, that Jesus would never leave them or forsake them. He would be there with them, and he would guide them through whatever they came through, and they can still go out there and do what they were called to do. If Paul and Silas sat in their prison cells and complained, how would that affect their witness to others that were in prison with them? And how we respond to the different circumstances we face every day will affect those around us. We need to ensure that we're responding to the different circumstances we face every day in a Christ-like manner so that we may continue to be a witness to those around us. We're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. But we need to do our absolute best to continue to be a witness to those we come in contact with. If Paul can rejoice in the Lord with all the hardships that he faced, what is stopping us from rejoicing in the Lord with the difficult circumstances that we face? When we talk about rejoicing always, it's not a sense of a permanent happiness of a superficial kind, like that of an inferior person who is always laughing, smiling, and whistling a cheery tune, no matter what they're going through. It means something deeper, the inner contentment of a life made right by God's grace, drawing on his strength, filled with God's hope, and destined to spend eternity in his presence. To rejoice always is not a matter of a feeling, but it's obedience. It's a command that we must deliberately choose to obey, especially when we're facing those difficult times. You know, when we're facing those things, you know, we have to stop, talk to God, pick up our feet and keep going through, and just know that we have to make that choice, that personal choice, that we're going to just rejoice in what God has done for us. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How do we get that level, that deep level of commitment and joy? We get it by facing the different circumstances that we go through and allowing God to mold and shape us through every trial and circumstance, relying on the hope that we have in Jesus so that rejoicing always is possible every day. This is when we go through hard times, that's how we build our faith. Our faith gets stronger. Our hope in Jesus gets deeper. We build it. We get it stronger. It molds us and shapes us. And it, you know, that's how we grow in our walk, is going through hard times. You know, that's what we have to just think about, that when we're going through this, is how we, you know, that our faith produces endurance. James 1, 2 through 3 says, "Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We do not rejoice in the trials and different if we do not rejoice in the trials and different circumstances that we are. We don't rejoice in the trials that we face, but we do it in hope that we have in Jesus. We can find hope in difficult times if we look to Jesus for the hope. We can find hope during difficult times if we look to Jesus. We can have hope in Jesus because we have a personal relationship with Jesus, which means that we have a deeper, pure, sweeter, long-lasting hope and gladness than anything the world has to offer. I mean, the world shows us all these things that they think they're great, but it can't beat what Jesus has done for us. And he died on that cross and gave his one and only son so we could have that relationship with him, so that when we are going through these hard times, man, we have something to fall back on that's stronger than anything the world can ever do for us. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, praise the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that is imperishable, uncorruptible, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. You rejoice in this, though for a short time you have to struggle with various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love him, though you have not seen him, and though not seeing him now, you believe in him, rejoice with inexpressible, glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Romans 5, 2 through 4. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope for the glory of God. And not only that, we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. When we're going through these things, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get, you know, an endurance. It's just, everything's just going to keep building on ourselves, and our hope and our faith is just going to get stronger. But we have to let God mold and shape us. We have to be willing to let him do that, because we can look at ourselves and just go, I got this, and keep going. But if we let God help us through it, that's when we're going to get stronger. Our relationship with him is going to get stronger. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I exalt in my God." The second thing we see is always be in prayer. I feel like I've been talking on prayer a lot, but this is where God keeps laying on my heart. This is being in prayer, and being in the Word is what we need to do every day. It needs to be something that we live and breathe every day, because that's how we're going to talk to God. We're going to grow. If we're not getting into his Word and talking to him, we can't build, we can't expand our relationship. We can't grow in that relationship. Having a constant prayer life means that we have a personal relationship with God, and we know that he's listening. He will take seriously the requests that we have made to him. But that does not mean that God will always answer prayers as we ask, and answer our prayers when we think they should be answered. However, we can have the faith that God will answer our prayers in his time, according to his will for us. Not our will, but his will. So many times we pray for stuff where it's all about what we want. We're not looking and going, you know, here's the situation, Lord. I lay it at your feet. Your will be done. That's how we need to do everything. We need to take everything we pray for and talk to him about and lay it at his feet and say, your will done. You know, let it be your will, not mine. Psalms 143:1 says, "Lord, hear my prayer. In your faithfulness, listen to my plea. In your righteousness, answer me." He will answer us in his time and according to his will, and not always is going to be what we're asking for. Prayer is a way with which we communicate with God. He wants to get to know us better. But we also need to spend time daily in the Word so we get to know God even more. Paul's requirement for constant prayer can cause problems for us. We have no problem every day, but how do we pray constantly? Life places demands on us, and we cannot spend every moment in prayer. We can live every moment in the confidence that we are connected to God's love. We need to talk to God for guidance whenever we need to make a decision or when we're facing difficult challenges in our lives. Because even though he knows the situation we are facing, he wants to hear from us. God already knows everything we're going to go through. He knows everything, but he's waiting for us to humbly surrender to him and say, here's my need, Lord. Here's what I'm going through. Praying constantly doesn't mean we spend all day on our knees praying, but we're in a constant condition of prayer. We can't pray every moment of the day, but we can keep in constant communication with God throughout the day. It's having that attitude, that heart, that's just always talking to God. While you're going down the road, you know, just whatever we're doing through the day, we can take time while you're doing it and have that conversation with him. You know, God created prayer for our benefit. That's how we talk to him. The big part of prayer is showing a heart of thankfulness and praising God for all that he has done for us. We need to learn to be content with what God has provided instead of always wanting more. It's hard to give thanks when we are down, but thankfulness gives us strength and a healthy perspective. Prayer is actively trusting and surrendering our life to God, and that's every detail of our life, not this corner, this corner. It's all of it. It's knowing that he is going to do the right thing for us according to his will. It's understanding that he is our provider and he doesn't abandon us. Worry and anxiety is a life killer that puts us behind the bars of despair. We can give God our heart, obedience, and problems every day of our life. We can trust him. But we need to be praying and talking to him constantly. Our love for God, our turning to God, our being in his presence, are seeking his will and drawing on his strength can and should be constant in our lives. We keep bringing our love and our lives to God, never ceasing to offer ourselves and all of our concerns to him. There's no lack of subject matter for our prayers. You know, I remember when Kyle and them were asking for prayer for Brian for 30 minutes one night, and we sat down as a family and we were praying through it, and I know Aaron got up there and just goes, I don't know what to say. I have no words to say. I said, God knows your heart. You don't have to say anything. God knows it. And that's when we don't even have the words to utter. God knows what we're thinking. He knows what we just need to surrender that and humbly come before him and say, God, I don't have the words, but you know my needs and my concerns. While we can't devote every minute of our day to prayer, we can live in such a way that our lives honor God. And we can live in thanksgiving for all the blessings that we have received, great and small. We can offer prayers for the people we interact with daily. The possibilities are endless. You know, when you see somebody struggling, even if you can't stop and pray with them, do you pray for them? If you see someone that has a need and says they're hurting or going through something, are we stopping to pray with them right then? Because if we don't do it right then, we're going to forget about it. You know, if you see a need, feel a need. If you see someone needs prayer, pray for them. Lift them up. Praying constantly does not mean continuous, uninterrupted prayer, but humbly surrendering to God in all of our areas of our lives. I think a couple ways that we can develop a good habit of praying constantly are, first, we need to stop and recognize that we need to depend on the Lord in every situation. There's nothing that we can't do on our own. We have to do everything with God's help and through him. The good, the bad situations, we need to let him help us through. Turn it over to him. Secondly, we need to stop and pray for the people who come in mind throughout the day. You know, someone asks us to pray about a need that they have brought to our attention, we need to stop right then and there and pray for it with them. And not to wait till later because we might forget to do about it later. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, always keeping on prayer for all the Lord's people. Psalms 86:3, be gracious to me, Lord. I call to you all day long. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. 1 Chronicles 16:11, search for the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Martin Luther says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, a day without morning and evening and personal intercessions is actually a day without meaning or importance. Prayer and being in his word is something that needs to be totally enveloped in our lives. We need to be doing that constantly, every day. Thirdly, in everything, give thanks. You know, Paul says give thanks in everything. He doesn't say for everything, give thanks. There's a large difference between the two. There are many different difficulties and circumstances we can't be thankful for, such as a serious illness, a death of someone close to us, a debilitating accident, financial hardship, loss of a job. You know, when we're going through those times, you know, like I said, we can't rejoice in those things. We can't rejoice in those circumstances. We can't be thankful for those things, but we need to be thankful in them and rejoice in them because we have the hope in Jesus. That's, if we don't have that foundation put in place, then when we face these things, it's just going to be without the hope that God gives us. God would not expect us to thank him for such things. But at the same time, we can thank God in every situation. We can thank him that the situation was not worse than it was. We can thank him for the strength he gave us to help us through the problem, and that he would use the situation for his glory and purpose. How many times when we're going through something do we talk to God and say, use this for your glory? You know, I think of a lot of the people that we've lost, and my prayer has always been that through their passing, that other lives will be touched and people will see Christ through their walk and how their families live through it, because that's where we're going to get that. I mean, yeah, it's, we hate to lose those we love, but if God could use, you know, God may have a plan for that and go, man, I can reach this person and this person, or I can reach this situation by this, because the family is going to be, you know, are going to be stronger. They're going to grow through it. And it may bring people back to Christ, families together, and bring them back to Christ, because now they have a reason to get together that they may not have had before. Again, we can thank him for the strength he gives us to help us through the problems, and that we could use the situation for his glory and purpose. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. We can be thankful not only for the circumstances we like, but the circumstances we don't like. When we are intentional in thanking God for everything, he allows to come into our lives. We keep bitterness at bay. We can't be thankful and bitter at the same time. If we let the frustration, the anger that we have in our lives just consume us, we can't be thankful. We can't go to God with a humble heart and go, you know, I'm thankful for this, when we're angry and bitter and frustrated. We can have thankful hearts toward God even when we do not feel thankful for the difficult situations that we are going through. We can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. We can be angry whenever we fall into sin, but we can still be thankful that God forgave us even though we fail him daily. We can choose to be thankful in all things, because there is never a time in which we cannot be thankful. When things look like they will never work out, those impossible times are God's specialty. The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. I love it when God does something impossible, because there's no question at all who did it. And when we get discouraged because of our circumstances, God promises it. In all things, he can work for good, for the good for us. I mean, how many times have we been praying about something, and when that prayer is answered, we go, you know without a doubt, that God did it, that impossible situation. And you stop and look at that and you go, man, there's no way that would have happened but through God. We need to give thanks for those things. We can give thanks to God in everything for three reasons. Because God is always with us. Because there's no situation that God cannot use for his purpose. And because God has wisdom greater than us. He knows every challenge we're going to face. When we go through these hard times, that's what our faith is, and our hope is proven. It's grown. It's gotten stronger. When we face all the different things that we challenges that happened over the last several months, have we taken time to look and see what we could be thankful for? Are we being thankful for just the big things, or are we thankful for the little things? I think if we're going to sit there and pray, you know, sometimes it's be thankful for all the big, big things. But are we thankful for those little situations that happen throughout each day? Maybe, you know, you're having car problems and your car starts that day. You know, or there's just so many things we take for granted in our daily life that are such small things, but we don't ask God to be thankful for them. We don't tell him we're thankful for those things. We just go on with it. We need to be thankful for every situation, big or small. Being thankful is a hard thing to strive for. When life is good and we are getting what we think we want, it's easy to achieve. When life is hard and nothing goes right, it's hard to have a spirit of gratitude. In fact, for many people, difficult times or circumstances are the easiest excuse to justify ingratitude. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Psalms 104, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise to his name." Tony Evans says, "For God says to give thanks in everything. That doesn't mean you need to give thanks for everything. You don't need to give thanks for that bad day or that bad relationship or being passed over at work, financial hardships. Whatever it is, you're not to give thanks for the difficulties, but rather in the difficulties." That is a very important distinction and one I think we often miss. Giving thanks in everything shows a heart of faith that God is bigger than the difficulties and that he can use them if we approach him with the right heart, spirit, for your good and his glory. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "It's only with gratitude that life becomes rich." Billy Graham says, "A spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Thank God in the midst of the trials and every persecution." And as we wrap up this morning, I just want to share a little story. It was a day after Brian passed. I went to bed that night, and I didn't sleep. This talk was going through my mind. Then I thought of something that Brian always said. When I came back from Afghanistan, I was going through some tough times. He always told me to look for the positive. And laying in bed that night, it hit me what that is. Because so many times we think of that emotional thing, that good that happened. But the one thing that we can look at, no matter what we're facing every day, is that hope we have in Jesus. That's the hope that gets us through these hard times. Because if we don't have that hope in Jesus, man, life's going to be pretty tough on us. If we have that hope in him, it's going to be tough, but we know that we got something bigger. We got someone bigger than anything that's fighting for us. N.T. Wright, in his book, Paul, a Biography, says, "Hope and optimism are not the same thing. Optimism is a feeling. Hope is not a feeling, but a virtue. We must practice the virtue of hope like we would a difficult sports play or a tricky piece of music. With hope like that, we can rejoice always because we know the Lord. We can pray continually because he invites us to bring our cares and troubles to him. And because he cares for us, we can give thanks in all circumstances because it's God's will And he knows exactly what he's doing. God knows the playbook. You know, God knows our plans. We don't know everything that's going to happen. And when we go through hard times, we don't know why they're going to happen. But God does. But if we don't have that relationship with him and that hope that comes with that relationship, it's going to be, life's going to be tough. Charles Spurgeon says, without Christ, there is no hope. If we don't have that relation with Christ, we got nothing internally to hope for. So as we close this morning, you know, if you don't have that hope or don't know Jesus, come talk to me. Come talk to one of the other elders so we can share with you what God has done for us. Because, you know, I know that going through these times without that hope, pretty tough. But when we turn it over to him and we just are thankful for everything he does for us, it's pretty cool what God will do, and that relationship just builds and we get to trust him more and have that hope that it's never going to go away. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Just thank you for the hope that we have in that relationship with you, Lord. Help us to develop that each and every day. Make it something that we strive for every day, that we just continue to talk to you and everything and bring everything, you know, be thankful for the big things, the little things, and everything in between, Lord. And help us to, when we're going through hard times, look for just to rejoice in what you've done for us, that you sent your son to die on that cross for us, that we could have the gift of salvation, that we could have a hope for the future, that we get to spend eternity with you in new creation. I thank you for just what you do for us, Lord, because it's greater than anything that the world can do. Just, I pray there's one here that does not know you this morning, Lord, or that they would just take time to just reach out and talk to you and just turn their life over to you, Lord. If someone just needs to maybe get their life right again, Lord, get back on track, that they would just take that time and talk to you and turn over their worries and concerns, Lord, and let them focus on you. We just thank you for the blessings and the greatness that you show us each and every day, even when we don't deserve it. You're still there for us. I just thank you for the blessings that you show us in your precious and holy name. Amen.